Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
Imagine a community school production of Lord of the Rings put on by people who never saw Lord of the Rings. We saw In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale. So you know what that means.
Now it's time for
hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another episode of How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by my two amazing co-hosts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. And Jason Manzoukas.
What's up?
We have a very special guest today. You know him from his very popular Earwolf show, Affirmation Nation. He is Bob Duca on that show. But currently, you can check him out on First Dates with Toby Harris. If you just type that into Google, it will come up. It's a new web series that he stars in. Please welcome Seth Morris.
Hello. Great to see you guys.
Great to see you.
What's happening, buddy?
This is the first time I've heard this live, and I didn't know that the what's up, that that's your persona. That's
not a soundboard. Yeah. There's not a soundboard here.
It's not a soundboard. Do you... Yeah. There was a secret part of me that was hoping that you would just do Bob Duca.
I actually thought
movie
about
reviews,
like,
by Bob Duca.
Because I was thinking about, like, I actually had that thought.
At the end, we should have a Bob Duca recap. We'll see, yeah. I got a 20-second recap. So, In the Name of the King, we have never done an Uwe Boll movie. Uwe Boll is considered by many the worst director ever.
Didn't he fist fight someone who...
Yes, he fist fought a movie reviewer who said his movies were bad. And he said, well, if you're going to say my movies are bad, let's fight it out in a boxing ring. Yeah. And he challenged anyone to fight him in a boxing ring.
That's a great way.
I can see how that would prove his point, though.
I was going to say, that's a great way to justify your movies.
Yeah, my art.
He loves a fight sequence.
He can't shoot a fight sequence, but he definitely loves a fight sequence.
Oh, my God.
This movie, I guess, is based on a video game, although every bit of research that I did, it has nothing to do with the video game. The only thing that has to do with the video game is, in the video game, a Dungeon Siege, which this is like the lower part of the title, you play a character who is a farmer. And so that is the only similarity, between the video game and this movie.
What would you say the words Dungeon Siege mean?
Right, because did I miss a dungeon?
Well,
what does that mean?
I would assume it would mean like a battle in which you are fighting over a dungeon.
Well, oh, no, I think it's a jailbreak.
That's what I think. I think it's a jailbreak.
Dungeon siege. Yeah, like classic was Thin Lizzy.
And I don't want to...
Tonight there's going to be a dungeon siege.
I don't want to fast forward to the end.
No,
but so the end of the movie there, I guess that was what the dungeon siege is, when all the prisoners escaped.
Wait, is maybe. That what happened? Because that...
Well, we should...
I was that's so confused
but that's, by but me. But that's the only thing that... That's the only siege.
The only way the ending happened. Could be more confusing is if the beginning was more confusing.
Well, that was
opening on Ray Liotta and Lily Sobieski having like a bone zone. I was like,
and it's all like sexual innuendo. She's like, I knew you'd come. Well, I came so for you.
Yeah,
like, it's
there is no way this couple makes sense. There's no way.
Well, can we just first talk about the realization that you're watching a period piece that Ray Liotta is in?
Yes.
Like, that's the first sensation of the movie for me. Is like,
everybody's accents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah. Well, Ray Liotta, to me, did not want to be in any sort of costume. He's like, no. Why don't you give me the leather jacket and a scarf? He looks like Al Pacino, like current day modern Al Pacino, like walking around New York City. Like,
yeah.
I'll wear an Al Pacino scarf and this long leather jacket. I'm a magician.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, he's not the worst defender, but
the thing is, he speaks so contemporary, you know, like his speech is versus there are people in this movie who appear to be speaking like old English.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like the difficulty in placing who belongs where and why is inexplicable.
Well, it was like that future fantasy world where, you can have a British guy. You can have what's his name?
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. There's a guy from Jersey here. There's a black guy in the kingdom, too.
About Ron Perlman, can't you just argue that his accent sometimes changes? Sometimes he's a Jersey guy, and sometimes he's like, Duff would like this chicken.
I guess.
There were moments where I felt like he was like, I'm going to put on a little bit. And then there were other moments like, no, I'm back to me. I'm back to this guy.
Also, the same goes for the hair in the movie, because sometimes have long, very long, you know, caveman hair.
Beards.
Yeah, and then sometimes they have crew cuts.
I mean, can you imagine? I just kept thinking couple of things. One is just all of them at lunch being like, can you fucking believe this? What are you going to do? I'm going to buy a new hip. I'm buying a boat. Oh, this chick's trying to sue me. Why do you have to be here? Do you know what I mean?
Well, here's an interesting story. This movie was sequelized in The Name of the King 2 with Dolph Lundgren.
What?
It takes place in present day. He's a Marine who was brought back to Erb, where this movie takes place. And apparently he was offered the movie 3 times. He said no 3 times. And then he got a divorce from his wife and agreed to do the movie. Yeah. So like that is why people are making these movies.
I think this is like a special segment of the movie industry. Like this was made...
In Romania.
Someplace where life is cheap. They shot this movie. And then it's made to be shown on buses in like Central America, youth hostels.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like this.
I felt like it introduced, in the first 5 minutes, more characters than Game of Thrones in 2 seasons.
Well, and more awesome cameos, because you're like, what?
Oh, yeah. Every new scene, I would be like, Burt Reynolds is in this movie?
Bonnie Franklin is one of the tree ladies?
Hey, man, too soon.
I love Bonnie Franklin. Hey.
R.I.P. Bonnie Franklin.
I just want to talk about it.
If you guys are not understanding anything that we're talking about, we're going to just tell you this much. Even though we watched the movie, I can't tell you what it is about.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, when you said it was a video game, but it had nothing to do with a video game, I was watching this, and it was like, okay, they're trying to keep faithful to something, but they're not doing a good job of it.
Yeah.
It was like, it almost was like some weird fan fiction.
I wonder
about
if in
the
video game you have to dig your own son's grave.
If that's
part of the game.
I feel like the only part of the game that transferred over was, you know, Jason Statham, who has a very shorn beard, which I don't know how he was doing that in fantasy medieval times.
He also has, like, incredibly modern fighting techniques.
Oh, yeah. It's like Jason Statham from The Transporter is just dropped into this movie. Like, there's no difference.
You know what? That would have made more sense.
Yeah, but at one point, he just seems to run over people's shoulders.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, the wire
but
work.
But that's always really good. I mean, we should get to just a basic plot of the movie, which I don't think I could describe.
I'm dreading this.
The one thing that I would say is that the first 5 minutes, I looked to June and I was like, Did we miss something? Did, yes. Did this movie start like 30 minutes in? Because it starts with, like we said, Lily Zolieski and Ray Liotta in a bed making out. And it's so in the middle of something that you feel like, wait. And then the next scene happens and you're like, wait, what just, wait, did that scene didn't really end?
It establishes nothing out of the game. It just establishes confusion.
Well, the scenes in this movie begin and end for no reason.
Yes, like, but what we do get early on is that Jason Statham is named Farmer.
Wait, do they make clear that he's a simple farmer?
they named him.
I don't know if Farmer. That was the first. The other thing that struck me is like his dial. Every sentence was this stoic thing. Father, why is the dirt there? Well, if you want to be a hero, the dirt. Oh Jesus, just say yes or no.
Well, I was gonna say the one thing that I feel like they took from the video game is this farmer is really talented with a boomerang.
Oh yeah,
any hero with a boomerang.
You would think that in the third act, in the final sequence of the movie, that's going to get called back in a really cool way.
He loses.
It got stuck on a tree, and then he's like, "Oh well, my boomerang's gone."
Well, there's a million moments like that. There's a moment in the movie again because the plot doesn't really make that much sense, and there are certain points where I'm like, "Who is that?" But there's a part in the movie where like, "Can we get horses?" Yeah, we can get horses. Literally, the next scene, he goes, "I'll get rid of those horses."
Yeah.
Well, why do we have
a
scene?
The guy in the thing that goes, "We just got them."
Yeah,
the long-haired guy.
By the way, I'm obsessed with that character. That guy, the brother
is insane.
He truly has no purpose.
He's pointless.
In his journey.
Well, I did a little research on that guy. He is Uwe Boll's friend, and he is in every Uwe Boll movie.
Oh my god!
So
that makes a little more sense.
But that sequence, holy moly! Can we just talk about
with
that?
The rope sequence.
Thing? Oh yeah.
With the ladies in the ropes?
No. When they're going across the chasm.
Oh.
I mean, we're jumping plot, but I will say that.
But I do think one of the main things, like, there are the bad guys are these weird mud ape people.
Yes, they're
that
orcs.
Turns out
they're
orcs.
It's so clearly a Lord of the Rings ripoff.
Oh, right. Clearly, yes.
They are controlled
by a magician.
By Ray Liotta, who's like a sorcerer.
Who looks like Mickey Mouse from Fantasia. Like the way they portray him as a sorcerer, it's insane.
Yes. So that is, and that's the evil that's trying to take over the kingdom.
And John Rhys-Davies is another magician.
No, I'm sorry. John Rhys-Davies. I'm sorry. You're right.
John Rhys-Davies is another magician.
I thought you were mistaking Matthew Lillard for
John Rhys-Davies.
The handsome.
Yeah.
Because that's who I thought he was at first, too. Who's the guy? Well, you know the guy I'm talking about from Match Point or whatever.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, no.
Jonathan
Rhys-Meyers. I thought you were saying, I was like, I thought it was him, too, but it's Matthew Lillard.
Well, to me, basically.
you mean Sala. But that guy wasn't a magician.
He was, because he was able to disappear.
No, the bearded man, Lily Sobieski's father.
Who is the king's best friend?
Yeah, the king's best friend.
The king's magic. He was like Merlin.
He was like Merlin.
He was like Merlin. But by the way, so basically, Ray Liotta is raising these quasi-orcs to attack so he can become, so Matthew Lillard can take control. But meanwhile, the orcs' first place that they attack is farmland.
Yeah.
Like, not a city, not even a populated area.
But I couldn't quite pick up on it, but there was something later on when Burt Reynolds tells
Burt Reynolds is in the movie by it.
Burt Reynolds jumps the bridge in his Firebird, he explains something.
He tells Jason Statham that first of all, he's his son, but also he's now the king.
Okay, he did say that because I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that happens. But there's a speech about how kings need to know the land, and he starts to talk about what that land is valuable for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is what I thought, because at a certain point,
it is worth 40 credits.
At a certain point, they're pointing at a map. And are like, here's where they attacked or whatever, and here's where they live or whatever. And the farmlands were right on the other side of the woods, and I think the bad guys came out of those woods.
Oh, okay.
I think that was just the first place they would have hit.
So basically the idea is Jason Statham, normal guy, his wife and
Claire Forlani, right?
Yes. And son are under this attack. His son is brutally killed, and his wife
by
is
the way, I have to point one thing out, though. His wife goes to see her parents, goes to the market into town, and they say goodbye as though she's going to be leaving for months.
Yeah.
And then he comes to find her that afternoon.
That's okay. This is actually gets at something that is a huge problem for me in the movie. Is the movie like continues to presuppose that people can make up great distances in absolutely no time at all?
Yes,
but like when the little boy runs away from the orc that is possessed by Ray Liotta and is trying to kill him.
Oh, by the way, that happens in the movie.
First of all, why does Ray Liotta need to kill this child?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Ray Liotta is obsessed with killing Farmer and his wife, but for no reason. Farmer is a farmer.
He doesn't think they're special.
You guys,
he doesn't
think the kid is special.
Why?
Because one of Ray Liotta's powers is that he can see who's inside of you. And so I think when he's next to the king or Lily Sobieski or whatever her name is, he's actually seeing Farmer and knows that there's another heir to the throne.
Oh, interesting. Perhaps.
Can we hear some of this?
That would make more sense.
I want to just play some of the dialogue between Farmer and his wife. This is the first clip where...
Her name is Adele in the movie, right? Farmer and Adele?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You just got a podcasty. podcasty. Here we go. Take a listen to this.
Tell me how you love me.
You know.
I only know what you tell me, and you tell me nothing.
Look at these hands. Broken to feed us. His hands speak louder than words.
What is the cost of telling me?
What would you want?
What every woman wants. A little passion.
A little passion.
But now see that this sets up a very important thing. He never tells her that he loves her.
Right.
So that's going to play in. That's a little thing. That's how the movie begins and ends, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That is the arc. Did you guys remember that?
I didn't remember that.
At the end.
No, at the end, he goes,
I love you.
Yeah.
I haven't told you in a long time. I love you.
I love you. I love you. That's what that...
Now
that,
get in the car. We're going.
What's so weird about this movie, too, is that there's no blood. So you're watching all these combat scenes. Yeah. Like,
although I would that was one cool thing is the orc people have this weird black blood that's pretty cool.
You know, I like that. But
you're right. None of the
consequences to the fighting. And,
right.
But
well, that's the video game element,
I guess.
And I guess
that's the video game element. But the entire
I think it's probably
time,
just a PG-13 element that they're probably.
But that said, the entire time we have to wrestle with the fact that a child has been murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And as Ray Liotta says, at one point, he ripped his guts out of him. It's like the most brutal thing.
What's crazy is Jason Statham barely seems to care. He never references his dead son for the rest of the movie. He has just buried his son.
And by the way, when they get back together in the end, there's no reference to the fact that they have lost a child.
Oh, and doesn't she? She's pregnant
she's
with
pregnant
him.
At the end.
So fuck it.
The only reason she knows that is because Ray Liotta told her so. Because apparently he can like smell it on her. I don't even know.
He can see into a woman's
room. Yeah. Jump
but,
like, on over
but he basically buries his kid.
What,
he,
by the way,
Ron Perlman,
with the
and the
most
other guy.
Amazingly underscored music.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like the people who scored this movie were
crazy.
Not watching the scenes. They were like,
no.
They were like, oh yeah.
Nobody
we'll do this.
That did anything on this movie watched any of the scenes.
I believe that.
Not only were the actors in different movies, everybody was just like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. Make them fly. What? Who talked to the transpo department?
Can we
today?
Put ninjas in the scene?
By the way,
yeah,
I don't
sure.
See why not?
Why does why do so many people jump out down from halfway up trees in this movie?
Lots.
There are so many
because
people,
they got a deal on a crane
so
and
many
some wires.
Leaping out of trees, it's ridiculous.
Well, am I right that we don't know Ray Liotta can do that until all of a sudden he's like, ugh.
Yeah,
you're like, what?
But there's the wire work is not great, so they kind of really kind of like they go down slow. They're not going down like super fast.
There's also in the
we got
big...
these cables from the Aerosmith tour.
The big wide shots of the fight scenes, the big battle scenes. It's just. People paired off in Tucson.
Well,
it's like there's no sense of...
Another great thing is the fight scene between Jason Statham and... was it Burt Reynolds?
No.
No.
No, and Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta, sorry. the so obvious, like Ray Liotta wasn't even near any actual fighting. They just do a close up on him, like moving his arms a little bit, and then you know Jason Statham does some badass martial arts.
One of the final fight scenes in the entire movie is between John Rhys Davies, not John Rhys Meyers, and Ray Liotta. And they have a sword fight.
I love
in
that.
Which
I love
they
that.
Magically,
I actually really like that.
Their magic is fighting swords around them. They're just
While they have a conversation.
They have a conversation, and there's like just swords clink, 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 clink around them. Like it was the laziest. It's like, well, yeah, these guys.
Guys can't fight. So what if we just CGI swords in?
Just around them, and they just have a very casual conversation.
But it is really weird because it's. It's so hard to tell what Statham's storyline is in this movie.
He's a simple farmer.
Okay, so he's a simple farmer.
Right.
Who just cares about
grows gigantic turnips. We know
giant turnips. And he's
okay. And well, I will say he hates the monarchy and he doesn't want to fight.
Right.
For them.
He doesn't want to be in the army. Right.
Right. And so by the end, I mean, the movie's really a love
letter
to...
He's an orphan. We understand him to be an orphan.
Yes. He's an orphan who lived from person to person. He doesn't know his parents. But yet, he has some remembrances of his father very clearly because he quotes the thing that his father said to him every night. Anyway, there's... You can rewind this movie. You can fast forward this movie. You will still be equally confused.
Ooh, let me go back to that scene just before. Because I bet I'm confused. I bet that will clear it up. No. It won't.
No.
There is huge logic leaps. There are way too many characters. I found Lily Sobieski's involvement in the movie inexplicable. I did not know until the third act that she was the Magi's daughter.
Yeah. Right.
The magic guy's daughter. I didn't know that.
And was she also Matthew Lillard's sister?
No.
See, but that was confusing. I didn't even know.
No, like, Matthew Lillard
had another mom and dad that we just never met.
Matthew Lillard is Burt Reynolds' nephew. And Sala from Raiders of the Lost Ark is just he's the hand of the king
Which, by the way, they managed. What is that guy's name? The Sala from
John Raiders of the Lost Ark.
John Rhys Davies. They managed to make this guy. To give him old man pants. First time we see him, his night battle pants are like an inch under his nipples, and he's like, "You will fight the king." And it looks like he's being held up by sticks.
He should be like a cobbler in like an old like Disney cartoon. Like, oh, Pinocchio, these shoes are too big.
For most of the movie, though, I thought the story was that Lily Sobieski's whatever her name is character was. The sister of Matthew Lillard.
Right.
And so was also, I thought the story was going to be, she should inherit the throne. But she can't because she's a girl.
I see. Yeah.
And so
there was that undercurrent throughout this.
There was that undercurrent.
There was nothing for her because she is just Sala's daughter. And
she's a magic.
Her thing is she can't, because she's a woman and she wants to be a warrior or whatever, but can't be because
like
women can't be.
Like one of those Japanese ninjas who are also in the army?
No, those
Japanese ninjas, we don't even know where they came. I think that they're part
who
of
knows?
It. Yeah, they were just other tree people.
Who knows?
There are tree people, too.
Oh, there are tree fairies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are woodland nymphs.
Feminist tree fairies.
Yeah, yeah.
Feminist tree fairies who came right
Eco
out of
Dykes.
Cirque du Soleil.
Camille Paglia
again,
and Sexton
again, just to draw you the smallest line of the movie. Basically, Farmer's son is killed, and Farmer and Ron Perlman and Uwe Boll's friend go to.
They got
to
find his wife.
His wife, who they think is alive. His wife, by the way, who was captured, has no trouble sleeping in prison transports. She's literally in a. cage where like people are screaming and crying and orcs are whipping it and there's fires going on and she's just soundly sleeping like a baby. Her son was murdered and she's like, "Well, I'll take a nap." I mean, we're going to prison colony.
Even when Farmer finds her and calls her name 2 feet from her head, she is so groggy to wake up that he is hit on the head with a mallet by like an orc and carried away. And then she looks up and is like, "Wait, did I just imagine that?" I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
This must be the most terrifying experience of your life.
Oh my God. Yeah. They must have just.
Although, you know what? I bet a part of her, she had been planning this weekend away. She just wanted to rest. And you know what? She just got in a zone. and was sleepy.
She may have taken an Ambien.
Maybe that was just a character choice. Like, my character can sleep anywhere. Okay, I'm realizing now, though, that a part of the story is about, you know, stepping into what your birthright is. And Lily Zobleski, how do you pronounce her
name? We can't pronounce anyone's name in this movie.
But just say Bobo Helen Hunt or young Helen Hunt.
Her journey was also realizing her own powers, which she couldn't until her father was dead, much like Jason Statham.
Or until Ray Liotta fucked them out of her.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Ray Liotta was fucking her powers out of her, right? Because he was sucking them out.
Yeah, he was sucking something out of her, but he was...
But she didn't know she had powers.
She did have powers, but they only come into use in like one shot.
I thought Ray Liotta was her sexual and magic tutor. I thought he was... consciously.
No,
she got screwed by him. She had no idea that he was taking her powers.
It's in that scene with her and Sala from Raiders of the Lost Ark where he's like, he used you to get into the castle, basically. And she basically got conned because...
Where did they meet?
Yeah. Why does Ray Liotta need to be in the dungeon of that castle to do his magic? Like, why does he need to be... By the way, he has multiple castles and an underground devil lair. Yeah, like, he has... Like, why does he have to be, like... He's, like, hanging out in the dungeon talking to Matthew Lillard.
And he can travel just like... Oh, my God. They have no... budget so often in this thing, right? So, like, there's one thing that happens where, like, Lily Sobieski's in bed and, like, her candle burns extra bright. Yeah. And then she looks at her fireplace and the fireplace starts to erupt in flames. And I'm like, oh, Ray Liotta is going to, like come out of the fire.
Yeah.
That's going to be the trick. Like, that's how he travels or whatever. And instead, the camera just pans left and he's standing. He has already arrived through the fire. We're just not going to show it.
There's clearly, like, half these actors never met. Like, they're...
Oh, my God.
Because Ray Liotta does things through his mind, he only has to be in scenes with Lila, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And a couple other
people. Matthew Lillard,
Matthew
Lillard, by the way, I think he's a fine actor, but I've never seen an actor chew more scenery.
Oh,
like, when you've heard that term, you've never seen it articulated until you've seen this.
You know what it made me think of is, you know, he used to do Ren Fairs. That's how he started. And I was like, oh, he is just
serious?
So much sense because he's the only one who I feel like is like going like, Your Majesty, I believe.
Oh, yes. there's a part I wish we could see it, but there's a part where he's watching this fight, and then there's just some extra, and you could tell Matthew Lillard just improvised, and he goes, "They fight like dogs." Because the guy looks at him and pauses and he goes, yes, my liege. And then he looks at the camera and then he looks away. Or just like, I didn't know he was going to talk to me. It's okay to talk. I kept thinking about the guy. I kept thinking about like behind the scenes of this movie and all the different people who are either like, yes, or like, oh, God. Who are the guys who were paid to put Burt Reynolds on his horse? Four guys who had to fucking put it. My back. Just Burt Reynolds crying.
Burt Reynolds being like, you tell me when there is 1 second to shoot, and then you put the helmet. Then you can put the helmet on me. Until then, don't fucking come near me with that fucking helmet.
If Burt Reynolds was chewing gum throughout this movie, it would not have been out of place.
Oh, no.
He's got that attitude. Like, yeah,
if Burt Reynolds,
and he also has he has a plastic wig on. So that's not. I mean,
he looks like he's made of plastic.
He does. He looks like he's melting.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
He looks like the doll.
Burger King kink.
You're right.
That's totally true.
That is the greatest. That is the best point I've ever heard.
Oh my God. While we're talking about Burt Reynolds, let's hear a clip of this is when Burt Reynolds finds out that Farmer is his son, and he's having a private conversation with John Rhys Davies.
Are you telling me that arrogant bastard is my son? Spent the last 30 years living over a Stonebridge farm?
All the cucumbers empire.
Living over.
Move the cucumbers.
You said they were all dead.
That's my favorite. Oh. Wait, this is my favorite part of it. Sorry. There you go.
What kind of joke do the gods play on me?
Sometimes the gods know what is best for us.
What the hell does that mean?
That's my favorite line. What the hell does that mean?
It's also really crazy. He takes poison. He's poisoned by...
He's poisoned by Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta, and that's
poisoned
the
his berries.
Just poison, because it takes him out. You think he's dead.
I thought he died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought he died, too.
Of course.
I'm assuming he would have died if he hadn't shared his meal with Matthew Lillard.
Oh,
who also got poisoned.
Yeah.
Right.
But Matthew Lillard needed antidote, and he did not need antidote, but he got stabbed in Battlefield. That's why he died.
Yeah, there were like four too many King on his deathbed scenes.
Yeah.
Because then he went to battle and immediately...
No, you mean just enough.
Or just enough.
I just realized this to me is like the movie adaptation of Drunk History. It's like someone telling you a story.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it was like, all right, so there's this guy, he's fucking this girl. Wait, no.
The other guy's the king.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the other guy's the king.
Oh, wait. Let me start. There's a farmer and the farmer.
Okay, so there's tree nymphs. There's tree nymphs in the forest.
Oh, and he has a boomerang, right?
Did I tell you about the ninjas?
Do you remember the part where, because the orc people are not real, they're just vessels to be controlled, they can sacrifice themselves. So remember the guy who set himself on fire and got into a catapult? Who's just like, fucking, I'm on fire, put me in the thing, and shot himself. It was badass.
Well, that was amazing.
And he smashes into a tree.
Right.
He smacked, like, arguably the coolest shot in the movie.
That to me smacked of somebody, like whoever the stunt coordinator was, walking up to him and be like, Uwe, I've got an idea. What about we put one of the guys in
the Brent Thief who has volunteered.
We will light him on fire. We will shoot him. He will hit the tree and fall down. Both very funny and also like action sequence. Also, the guys, they really want to do this.
How many people have you killed?
Listen, I can't talk about this. these things are not for talking about.
By the way, the fight scene is clearly inspired by Lord of the Rings 2, like the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
If you, I can't even express to you the most boring battle scenes. Like, they're 25, almost 30 minutes of battle.
And there's just so many of them. It's like, what did that prove? What is war for?
It's all faceless villains and heroes we barely understand or care about.
Well, I mean, who's the black guy? The black guy is also a major character in this movie.
At one point, that black guy has someone under him.
Yeah.
He has a second.
Oh, the other black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, There was another black guy.
Remember, black guy number one guy goes, hey, black guy number two, go take a scout and go check out to see what we're looking at, remember?
But those guys, I don't even understand who they are to each other.
I don't know, but at the end battle, his second banana, black guy number two, died. And the first black guy was really upset.
Well, they're the only two black guys in the kingdom.
I feel like that's also like the movie just like, them go, we can't be racist. We need to get some black guys in here. And they're friends. We'll make the two black guys friends.
They're in the army. Don't worry about it.
It's I'm sorry to call them black guys, but they really, I can't tell you anything.
African American gentlemen?
Yes, African American soldier. But I can't tell you anything about their characters.
I would like to watch a movie starring those two men that is a Glory style movie about the black soldiers in this war.
Right,
like an analysis of what it was like to be the black soldiers in this war.
Oh my God! By the way, every time Jason Statham comes up against Ghost Ray Liotta, because Ray Liotta never is fighting in the fields, he's always embodying one of these orcs. He's always just slicing his throat. Jason Statham has no problem killing these orcs time and time again.
Well, right. he can not just kill them, but like he beheads. He's just like, he is an amazing fighter.
Yeah.
And I have
he's a farmer.
No understanding of how he knows what he knows in terms of fighting. He does not seem to have a past that involves fighting. He is a farmer.
Well, his father is a fighter.
Right, but I mean, but, like, he is, like, practiced in, like, martial arts.
Like
sword play.
Like, he was, like, doing, like, jumping on, on people's shoulders, literally.
He punched a horse at one point. I can't believe I haven't talked about that.
I forgot
punched a horse
about
in the horse's face.
It was a little nod nod to
that
Blazing
fucking
Saddles.
Horse was a dick.
That horse deserved it, man.
That's well, why they like shooting in Romania. Go ahead, hit
yeah,
the
punch,
horse.
Punch, it, punch it, punch it. Fine. It.
You would also
Uwe,
think
we
that.
Had idea. What if Jason punch horse? We get horse very drunk. We won't know. We just punch horse in face. See, it's funny scenes. See what happens.
Do it, do it.
bring the think, horse, though, punch it.
That at the end, Lily Zabliesky and Matthew Lillard would have some sort of a sword nope. fight or duel.
Yeah, did Matthew Lillard get killed?
No.
Right? Because after the son dies,
yes.
there's well, not the really king, any other stakes. Oh, well, the king.
The king dies, and then it's like, well, then Matthew then Lillard yeah, Matthew Lillard would be king. He's like, ha, you can't kill me now. Then Jason Statham becomes king. He's like, okay, well, now.
And then that's that.
That's that, yeah.
And then there's a big fight.
And then, yeah.
And then Lily Sobieski, inexplicably... They're preparing for the biggest battle of all, but then Lily Sobieski, Statham, and the head of the wood nymphs need to go and sneak into like the bad guy's castle.
By the way,
can castle.
We just I want to talk about the
that's the dungeon siege
by swinging on a rope across. Like I was like, what's the point
well,
of this?
Time,
and then
time
Lily Sobieski gets in the castle anyway.
Time and space in this movie have no... There's just nothing... Everything that you know about spatial relationships and the amount of time should be disregarded because there's that scene...
Well, but there's a reason why that happened, Jason. There's what? A reason why that happened. Because Ray Liotta had set up some sort of like a force field and was blocking them from
right.
getting in. So then,
and Saul is like, there's a cave up there that you can get in.
Right, and then he creates a distraction, so Ray Liotta's...
He drops the force field?
Drops the force field.
Oh, okay.
And that's how they... that's why they catapulted.
Well, it's the dropping of the force field. Okay.
Well, which is very hard to miss. You can miss a lot in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that never happened. There's no scene to
tell
us.
It?
That,
oh.
That's my
oh.
interpretation.
Oh, okay. Well, I will tell you, explain this scene to me, then. They, Uwe Boll's friend... Ron Perlman, who should be in every movie.
Okay. It reminded me of Season of the Witch.
Yes.
When Ron Perlman was like, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. He's like, all right, farmer. So they get to this chasm, this giant kind of like Grand Canyon-esque, like, oh my God, how will they get across it? And Statham's like, well, we'll take our belts, we'll throw them around this thing, and we'll slide across, you know, with the belts as like a zip line.
Yeah.
So they are the Statham zip lines. Then Ron Perlman goes, he gets caught in the middle. But I guess the other guy didn't wait to zip line, a zip lining thing, and he bumps into Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman and him go, whoa, and they fall a couple feet. Into the water.
No, they fall
no, no.
like hundreds of feet.
Hundreds and hundreds of feet.
Into very shallow water.
Okay.
Very shallow water.
Into a creek.
Into a creek. And then Jason Statham basically runs down there and gets there within 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hey.
He runs down a mountain.
What
you're looking at is so big.
It's so big.
And... they would never have survived that fall.
Oh, no. They would have died.
They fell into a creek. But that's what I'm saying, that no space or anything. It's like, this is an insurmountable pass. Like, well,
neither of these people could do what they just did.
Yes.
Survive that fall and or run down a mountain in 30 seconds.
Yeah. I think what we were set up for with those two was that they were going to be kind of like these goofy side characters, you know, and it really never paid off. And not only that,
no jokes.
There were no jokes. But then later on, when the long-haired blonde brother is in prison, he starts a romance.
He starts flirting.
Oh, yeah, with that.
The best
goes,
line.
With that goes, environmental studies
where,
major.
So, where are you from?
Where are you from? That's a line in this movie. Where are you from?
He says to the
and
woman
she
who
says,
is shackled to
I wrote this down.
I did, too.
He says, where are you from? She says, Glacier. They took me from my home.
And he goes, oh, you...
go
okay.
Ahead, Jason,
oh,
I think... No,
okay.
Go ahead,
he says... okay. These okay. I just want to set
the
scene.
Let's just do the scene.
These people. These people are in a dungeon, shackled to a wall,
and not even
they
a dungeon.
Are,
they're like hell. It's like a hell.
They are
like
in a
hellscape. Place.
They are in a hellscape, shackled
Fire.
To a wall. Okay.
Okay.
And by the way,
you're him. I'm
okay. Okay. I love
it. Do it again. Do it again from the top.
Okay. Ready? Where are you from?
Glacier. They took me from my home.
We'll get you back home.
We'll die here.
By the way, she schools that dude. She goes, we'll die here. Hey, dum-dum. We're going to die here. If you're not hip to this, you're a fucking idiot because we are Deadsville.
And by the way,
he's like, we're cool. I know
Ool Bull. Scene ever.
And that girl, by the way,
we'll die here.
That girl looks. We'll die here. She, by the way, does not look like she belongs in this movie at all.
That's what I'm saying.
She looks like clean.
They went to the youth hostel in Romania and they're like, does anybody want it? And she's like, sure, I need
I'll be in this movie.
20 euros for ecstasy
by
tonight.
By the way, there's another really strange moment when Lily Zelblieski is in her, it's way early in the movie, but she has a handmaiden. She tries to kill herself.
Oh my god, that girl's performance!
I'm obsessed with that girl.
I definitely think she doesn't speak English.
No, she had an accent that was, I don't know where she must have been Romanian. Like she,
I feel like it was crafts. They were like, somebody should. Wow, fuck, we didn't cast. Okay, craft service girl, can you come in and say
and
this
she
in English?
Ran in.
Yeah.
And did a short scene with Lily Zelblieski, and that was that.
And it is, her acting is, in a movie full of horrible acting, this is some next level crazy bad acting.
But you're so kind of struck. I think that his style of filmmaking is like, I'm going to just keep on punching you in the face, and at a certain point, you're not going to feel it anymore, because you're like, I can't react to anything.
Right.
I don't understand why that scene just ended.
The whole movie,
I don't understand why this scene just started. I don't know who this is. I don't know, like, at a certain point.
And one of his techniques is to just intercut all the storylines.
Yes.
Right.
So there are periods of this movie that are legitimately 15-minute montages of just, it's like 30 seconds of fighting, 30 seconds of Ray Liotta in his place controlling, 30 seconds of Lily Sobieski like jerking off, I don't know, 30 seconds, and then it just recycles, and it's, there's no scene, there's no movement, there's nothing, there's just like montage, and you start to feel crazy.
I would argue with anyone to find me a worse opening of a film, of four scenes that make no sense put together. Like, until you meet Jason Statham, this movie, you're like, I don't know. I don't know what is going on. Can we just talk about the nymphs, the forest nymphs?
And then I also want to talk about the book Crucifixion.
Oh my God. Oh, so good.
Yes, well,
what,
we got
what I will say about the tree nymphs is there is one thing I did appreciate about this movie, the mind sword fight. And also there is a strange feminist bent to the movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Sure.
There's the tree nymphs. There's
Lily Sobieski wanting to be able to be a warrior.
And there's also the mom, really, who has like the last kill. I mean, I guess Statham.
No, but she does that. She saves him.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Yeah. So I.
So you think he's like a woman, a drug?
Well, I think.
This movie won a Ms. Magazine Best Movie of the Year award.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But that was.
Are you crying?
Are you crying?
I did appreciate that.
Okay, now, but I will say that sometimes he undercuts it because those wood nymphs come down and they're like, it's basically like the most lazy Cirque du Soleil.
Oh yeah,
like they
totally.
Kind of just like,
totally.
Like, you know, they're
they hang from vines.
Yes,
like Cirque du Soleil dancers with like on the ribbon or whatever.
Yes.
So some of them are upside down. The blah blah blah.
And they're just like, we hate you. We hate you, modern people, and you wreck our woods. And
you men
like
with your weapons.
Yeah, we hate it. And then the guy and she's like, and he's like, we're lost. And she's like, okay, well, I'll show you the way out. Like, it's like, she just made this big statement, like, well, you're going to die here. And he's like, well, we're lost.
They're kind of brutal. I mean, there's that one shot where I think it's Matthew Lillard's army. I mean, there's so many different armies running
around.
Oh,
there's so many different armies.
So hard to keep track. But at one point, the wood nymphs, you know, hang all of these men, and they come flying out of the trees in nooses. I mean, that was pretty.
Oh, that noose scene was pretty cool. Yeah. But again, everyone's flying out of these trees. I would like to see a movie about the people who live in the top of the trees.
Well, how are they getting up to the top of these trees?
Like, well, the wood nymphs.
Not the wood nymphs. They can
the ninjas.
Control. Yeah, the ninjas.
The
and
one
then
scene ninjas.
There's another scene where the orc people jump out of trees, and I was like, how did they get up there?
Everyone's jumping in trees. The orcs could not climb those trees. We're going to talk about the book Crucifixion in just a second. Let's take a quick break. All right, the movie is it's going good. What would you guys say what would you say the budget of this movie was?
God,
$40 million.
$40 million. What would you? Anybody else want to?
I'm not good at that stuff, but I would say
it's
somewhere
really
around
weird,
there.
Because I don't know that it was that expensive. Because when I think of some of the fight scenes, it looks like it could have actually been one fight scene,
and it
that
is all like Romania. Stuff.
I think that's how they did it. I think that they had like a couple things where like we got a day and a half with Ray Liotta. We're going to shoot all of his stuff
all of
in
stuff.
The wizard place. Then we've got these fight scenes. We'll shoot this, this.
I think, and then they just specific about spliced those it together.
Yeah. 60 million.
60.
$60 million dollars.
How much did it make?
Romanian. Oh, well, I'll tell you. It grossed a whopping $2.9 million in its opening, and it didn't even crack the first week's top 10. It made $2.7 million in Germany, $1.9 in Russia, and $1.2 in Spain. And he goes, you know, this is, but it did not stop him for announcing the sequel immediately after it bombed across the country. I think it made $13 million total.
Oh my God. And it cost 60?
60. Rotten Tomatoes called it one of the 100 worst reviewed films of the 2000s, and it has a 4% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. 4%.
It is genuinely, you know, in terms of kind of movies we do, I did not think this was a very fun movie. Like, this was bland, kind of boring, like crummy.
Yeah. There, you know, it's interesting. It's one of the movies that people recommended all the time. I think there are crummy things. I think what you get sleepy in is the fight scenes. Like, I almost feel like didn't have the fight scenes because I was scrolling through it today, I was like, oh, I kind of am enjoying this more.
Well, because when the acting happens, when like Burt Reynolds is whatever, then it's interesting. But yeah, you're right. The fight scenes are so boring and so ill, like poorly executed, and there's so many of them and they last so long I start to feel like I check out.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the final fight, here's a great scene between Ray Liotta and Jason Statham. This was actually cut out because there is a 2.5-hour version of this movie, the director's cut, in which you can get this on DVD. Uwe Boll, during the director's cut, takes phone calls, lets his dog out for a walk, and gets into a fight with his next-door neighbor. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
I can read most men like reading scrolls of flesh, but you?
You, I can't see past your scowl. Why is that?
And that is that's just a little moment.
I love that.
Wait, who can't?
That's Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
So in the beginning, it's Ray Liotta talking through. Because the way it works is Ray Liotta sits in his castle, and he possesses these
orcs.
Bigger orcs, these like big boss orcs. And so in the beginning of that scene, he's talking through the boss orc and has that deep, bellowy voice and sounds genuinely threatening, you know? And then when it cuts to Ray Liotta and his real voice, he's like, but you've got a lot of attitude.
Yeah, Karen, really. I'm still going to go out.
Okay. Karen, Karen, you're acting crazy, Karen.
Ray Liotta has fucking still to this day 1970s cocaine eyes. So no matter what he says or does, he looks like he just got done yelling at his agent about, what do you mean Martin Scorsese's present got lost? You fucking get that fucking present. Everything he says looks like it's fueled by cocaine.
Let's talk about the final battle. Statham versus Ray Liotta. Boy, oh boy. This is kind of like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I think it is like the, whoever said it. I mean, because literally they fight with, like, I mean, it's so like magical.
Right.
Like he calls all the books from his magical library.
Right.
And the books whirl up Jason Statham like almost like a cartoon.
Like a tornado.
Like we've seen a Wile E. Coyote movie.
Right.
And you would think that there was some significance to like the books or reading.
Yeah. Right.
Or there's some
I was trying
and then
to
he's like, and then he does the gesture with his hand and all the books and Jason Statham fall to the ground. Yeah, but he's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he goes, he like pushes his hands out and like a blue light, like electricity, like the Emperor from Star Wars shoots out at Statham. All it does is knock him knock him down. But he's fine. It's like, what powers
and then
do
that,
you have?
That matronly teapot comes in. It's like, oh, there.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury.
Right.
Be your guest. Be your guest. I mean, it is. It is. Oh boy!
So weird.
And then,
Lily Sobieski comes in and she shoots fire out of her hand, which I was like, "When did this happen?
Yeah,
when
she
did we
got her powers from?
Yeah,
her
dad. You mean her period?
Yeah,
I thought that
she
was,
got her wizard period.
I thought she's like,
period.
I finally got my wizard period, and then it just flows red from her hand.
But it is, and then Jason Statham again after cutting Ray Liotta's head off via orc the entire movie. just slices Ray Liotta by the neck, and it is, you want his head to fall off, right? I mean, I wanted that.
I thought it was going to just slide off of his body, you know?
But no. I guess PG-13, because all you do is, like, he's just a slight little cut around his neck. He's like, ugh. Yeah. And he just falls down to the ground.
I don't want to open up this can of worms, but I'm just realizing that the whole theory about, like, why he's obsessed with the farmer doesn't hold up because the scene you just played. Because he can't see.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, he can't see the farmer.
He doesn't know
He doesn't know the farmer is the king. Or will be king, or should be. Right. You know what I mean?
But he does. He just knows when women are pregnant, I guess.
That's his only power.
Okay, that was the other thing. Is like when Ray Liotta, in possession of big orc body, is burning down the original farmer village, and then they say, like, get out of here, son. Like, the little kid runs into the woods, basically. The kid's running forever, and the orc moves incredibly slowly. The orc is like a clumsy thing that cannot barely move, and is immediately catches up to the kid and, like, cuts him into pieces. And I was like, there's no way this orc can, like, there's stuff that, and I was like, and why does he care? You know, why does he care about this one child?
Was it the same? Okay, I thought he jumped bodies and that it was a different orc.
Oh, really? Oh, but maybe.
I'm probably giving it too much credit.
I sort of felt the same that Ray Liotta could be in and was all orcs.
Okay. I'll buy that.
I think that, you know, he definitely could jump bodies. He's always jumping bodies.
He's a total body jumper. Don't get me wrong.
How about the
We all know he's BJing all the time.
When he's BJing the bodies, and but how about, like, there's a big battle sequence and they fight the orcs and the orcs get killed and stuff. And then all of a sudden they have, like, this big scene where, like, you know, Jason Statham, you're the king. And they cut to the top of the mountain and then there's, like, one orc all by himself, and that's Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta just watching it on a horse. Like, so
and, like, nobody's like, hey, look, there's one of the bad guys.
So dumb. Do you think that, like, Peter Jackson calls up John Rhys Davies and is like, you fucking dummy. I put you in the biggest movie of all time. You're going to go do this piece of shit ripoff?
You know, Jonathan Rhys Davies is like, I didn't want to play a dwarf. I wanted to play Christopher Plummer's role. I should have been Gandalf. I should, you know, this was my chance to be Gandalf.
Well,
Bad dates.
I like a good Raiders reference. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people who have a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. And it was hard to find 5-star reviews of this
really?
Film. More than any other film that we've ever done. I'll just read you some of my favorites. Jay Fogelsong writes, this isn't supposed to be a documentary. It doesn't need to be realistic. 5 stars.
Fair enough.
Wow. I wish I'd known that going in because my presumption was that this was a documentary.
Well, Dan L. Harp might disagree with him because Dan L. Harp writes, I found this movie very enjoyable. Very realistic, very believable. The homework was certainly done on the background to create such an epic film. A homework? Like a what? Like, does he think this is a real period of time where the orcs existed?
I love that.
He goes, this is my favorite line. Jason Statham is an incredible actor. Plus, he reminds me a lot of Bruce Willis, who I also like. This film should be enjoyed by the family with some adult supervision. It's among my short list of favorite films.
Oh, my God.
5 stars.
By the way, anybody reading this, please send a pizza to this address because I'm too fat to leave my house.
121 Sad Man Apartments.
And then Steph writes, Jason does a very sexy job as the hero. Don't know the actress that plays his wife. Does a lousy job crying, but for the most part, she's okay. The actor who plays the selfish Duke has the most expressive face. I loved watching him. Burt Reynolds is Burt Reynolds. I'm not a fan, although he did his job really well. Rhys Davies is great, whether he's Maglis or Gimli. I also enjoyed Lily Sobieski and Ray Liotta. I don't know the guy's name, but the king's right-hand man, Tarish, he was good. Watch this movie. It's good.
Wow.
Oh, man. So that those are some. And then the final one I'll read just because I think this is the best one. JJ Cracker Ass writes, Jason Statham plays Jason Statham in a fantasy movie. And if you want to see Jason Statham in a fantasy movie, you will be satisfied. I personally enjoy watching Jason Statham double fly kick jump people regardless of the setting. He's the ultimate macho hero guy. Macho. Five stars.
Yeah.
Ultimate macho hero guy.
One thing I read said that there was in the beginning of this, there's a nod to Transporter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That he says something, because I've never seen the Transporter movie, but he says something like the deal's the deal or something.
Oh, okay.
And he says the same thing in this.
Well, that's good. That he may be
in on it.
He also the only
I
way
bet
this
you
movie
didn't
could
write
been,
enough dialogue for him. Like,
they're like, just fill it out with other stuff you've said in movies. The only way this movie could have been better is if Bai Ling had been in it.
Or you know what? Here's what I was thinking: did we get any scenes with Ron Perlman and Burt Reynolds, or Burt Reynolds and Ray Liotta? God, see, that's what I would love to have seen.
Of course.
How would you imagine?
That's what I mean. That's like when De Niro and Pacino met in Heat. Everybody was like, "Wow, that's it, finally!" And that's what I want. I want there to be Liotta Perlman. I want that meeting. I want to know what it's like.
I mean, and Perlman, does he even have an ending?
Yeah, he gets stabbed in the dungeon.
Oh, right, yeah, he does.
He gets stabbed trying to...
He dies like a hero,
tonight there's gonna be a dungeon siege.
Oh,
last question for me. Why did Ray Liotta need all those prisoners?
I have no idea. What was his plan? I don't even know.
What was the plan? They were killing small children.
What was the macro plan?
Why you're really hung up on that, June?
That's terrible. This is like
haunting. But to me, it's like all he wanted was... to take over the throne? I mean, if he wanted to kill Burt Reynolds and he could poison him that easily, why did you need to raise an army of these orcs?
I didn't understand his plan
use
at
of
all.
Magic, if nothing else.
If nothing else.
Because Matthew Lillard would have taken over the throne, and Matthew Lillard would have been the patsy, and Galeon, that's Ray Liotta's character, would have been all-powerful. All they need to do is put some more of that liquid on the fruit and vegetables a couple days earlier, and it would have been fine. You don't have to create orcs. And,
that
was my favorite scene. He's like, how do you like my Krug or Krug?
Krug.
Krug. And like he's like, they're very powerful, but they're discipline. Yeah. Like, it's like so dumb.
How do you like my Krug? And how do you like my Keurig? My coffee maker.
I feel like this movie, I do you think that everyone on this knew that they were making shitty movies?
I do.
They had to.
I mean, this guy has made the worst.
Because this is like, he's notorious for making terrible movies.
Yes.
So I was like, why did all these people sign up for this? Although when you tell me it's $60 million, they must have paid everybody well.
I imagine that they basically had a list and they go, these people can get you $60 million. Like, yep. And it was just not even thinking. It was like, her, him, got it, good.
Totally.
Got it, here we go. And we're making a movie. That movie could have, that was like just who said yes.
But see, that was the thing to me is that sometimes it bummed me out where there was times where you could tell certain people were having fun phoning in, and then others were like Burt Reynolds a couple times, you could tell he's like, I'm gonna give it a shot.
When he was on his deathbed, you're like, oh yeah, he's giving it.
He's trying
to
act.
This is it.
Yeah, and that was a bummer.
Yeah.
Through his crazy frozen face. Yeah.
Jason, you're not recommending people to watch this.
You know, I don't think so. It did not get so bad it was good for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say if you can fast forward through the fight scenes, I would definitely give it a shot. Although I don't think I would ever do another Uwe Boll movie. I feel like I got it. Like this is what it is. What do you think, Seth?
Unless you're gonna do some fast forwarding, I couldn't recommend it. You know, I tried. There's not enough weed and white wine to make this enjoyable.
Makes sense. Yeah. I agree.
All right, there we go. I'm a lone wolf on this. There is a great thing on YouTube you can watch called Dungeon Siege in 2 minutes, and it does kind of pull together everything that I think is the best parts of the movie, so you can kind of get a great idea.
I will say it could be worth a breeze for some fun with wigs. The hair in general. We just talked about Burt Reynolds, but throughout, it's
the wigs
really
are pretty
amazing.
Any final thoughts? Are we good?
Yeah, terrible.
Just right. Awful.
Terrible movie.
Terrible.
Yeah. Just shame on everybody.
Shame on
just
people.
Just like, you know what, everybody? Just think about what you did.
You know what I would like these movies to end with? Pictures of the things that these people bought. So yes. It is like, you know, Jesus named a boat. Yeah. And it is like, pool.
That's amazing.
Like, it's just like...
Instead of their names.
Yeah, and did you see, like, I don't know if you guys stayed up long enough to listen to the theme song, but they had like...
God, that was amazing.
It's pretty amazing. It's like this... Like a Celtic
I did hear that
world band kind of
really
big they spent a lot of money on that end song.
It's the German power metal band Blind Guardian. They did the main theme called Skades and Shadows. Yeah.
Oh, bro.
And then the British progressive metal band Threshold contributed the song Pilot in the Sky of Dreams. Oh, man.
Hey, guys, what do you think about my new song, Pilot in the Sky? I don't know. I feel like it's lacking something.
In dreams?
Okay, I'm in.
You know what? We should actually listen to it right now. Here's the end credit song from In the Name of the King.
Songs I will sing of runes and rings. Just hand me my heart. This night turns into myth. Nothing seems real. You soon will feel. The world we live in is another skull. Dream in the shadows. Dream in the shadows.
Oh. Listen to it all online. There's a lot of these songs online, and I guess they're very popular. Okay, that is it for today. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer. You can pick up my brand new comic book, Aliens vs. Parker. It's available in your comic book stores online, or not online, digitally. We know how to do that, comic book fans. I hope you guys like it. Let me know if you do. You can watch June every week on Burning Love. You can follow her at Miss June Diane. Jason is still not on Twitter. And Seth Morris, you can watch his new web series, First Dates with Toby Harris, on Yahoo, and you can see him on the TV show Go On. Thank you guys so much for listening, and if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. I don't know what it does, but we're supposed to say that.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
I love Squarespace. I've built all my websites on Squarespace because it is the all-in-one platform that helps me build my brand for my podcast. It helps grow the brand. And what's so great about it is you don't have to be a designer. No. You can get a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience and you can sell anything, your products, your content, and even your time. You have member areas where you can basically have like a gated community. You can let people in. You can have videos behind there. This whole summer, you can maybe decide to share a newsletter with your followers. And guess what? Squarespace makes it easy for you to do. I mean, I would like to maybe have a tour update. Maybe I would just send out an email like, hey, this is what happened last night. Here's some photos. That would actually be a great idea. Maybe we should do that through Squarespace. Anyway, you can also now create pro level videos because Squarespace has a video studio app. Yeah, they are stepping up their game and they already were great. Go to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.